Hello again, church. Today's message is going to be a little bit different, and you're going to have to give me some leeway. And you have to do that because today's Father's Day, and I'm a father. I don't know about the rest of you, but there are times, and Father's Day for me is always one of them, where I reflect on, contemplate, much like in video, it's I don't think necessarily unusual for us on days like this to think about that. So as I was thinking about the message that I would deliver to the church today, and I was sitting at my desk, I thought, I just want to share with you some things from a father's perspective, just speak from my heart about being a father, some things that I hoped that I did, or at least that I wanted to do as a father. And I hope it will be an encouragement to you. So there are five things. It's not just that I had a list of five, but five things came to mind as I was sitting in my office and thinking, how would I communicate through a father's eyes? Yes, that's really me at my desk, and I took like 12 selfies to get that terrible picture of me. So I don't want to hear it. I tried everything. Tried it high, tried it low, tried it light, tried it dark, tried a different room. That was the best I could do. And when I showed it to Kathy, she goes, "Who took that picture?" So picture taking is not my gift. What can I say about that? The first thing I want to share with you is that I love my children. I don't know if you've ever heard a song by Kenny Chesney called "There Goes My Life." But the story of the song is a father who unexpectedly finds himself, a man unexpectedly going to be a father, and he has all these dreams and plans, and when he finds out that he's going to have a child, the song starts out like, "There goes my life, there goes my dreams of going to California." And the song progresses. The girl a few years later has pictures on his refrigerator, and she's tucking him into bed, and he's watching her go up the stairs, and he says, "There goes my life." And that's kind of how I feel, because early on in our lives, Kathy and I had, I would say, our first pregnancy unexpected, but really, even our second child, they came unexpectedly. And I just want to confess to you that in some ways, I thought that as a very young man, like, "Oh, dude, this is going to ruin my life. You know, now I got kids to worry about. I can't just not go to work like I want to. I got people to support." I actually had those. You'll have to forgive me for that. But you know, from this place, I got to tell you how much I love my kids. I mean, I would do anything for my kids. They could have everything that I own. I would give my life for my kids. I love my kids with all of my heart. And I find joy in my kids' uniqueness. Both of my kids are different. How is it that you can have DNA from a dad and from a mom and have kids and they're all different? You'd think you'd be like making clones, wouldn't you? Right? I mean, same two people. But our kids are totally different. God somehow blessed us with our first baby, my son Mark, who could sleep through a tornado. And then there was Julie. That it was just almost impossible to get her to sleep. They were just so different and just at the right time. But you know, I look back on that now and I find amazing joy in the uniqueness of my kids. How boring would it have been to have two kids that were exactly the same and know everything to expect? Two totally different personalities in my kids. And I find joy in that. I love the uniqueness of my children and the way I see God working and all that. I taught and disciplined my children with love. So I really believe that Kathy and I did our best to try to teach our kids first. We didn't immediately go to punishment. At least we tried not to. We really wanted to help our kids learn what was right and what was healthy and safe. And then when our kids needed punishment, I did what every good dad does. I had Kathy do it, right? That's the way dads love their kids. Mom is the punisher. Dad is the loving one. "Oh, I'm so sorry your mom did that to you. I just tried to talk her out of it, but I didn't really do that, but it's hard to discipline our kids, especially when it comes to punishment sometimes. But we did that. I did that because I wanted my kids to grow up to live a healthy, safe life to the best of their ability. This is not a safe world. I know you can't always protect your kids, but I think to have a child go without your training and your teaching about a lifestyle that can really be helpful for them, I think that that's bad parenting. And so we always tried to discipline and teach, but in love. And in the midst of that, even though I hoped for them to do the right thing, I really longed for them to love me, not just obey me. I didn't really want kids who just did everything I said. I wanted kids who loved a relationship with me. And so fatherhood for me is kind of like moments filled with all this stuff invaded by small acts of love. I don't know if you feel that way about your kids, but I still feel that way about my kids. I remember, raising my kids when they were younger, like, get up. Okay, now you're up. Get dressed. Okay, clean your room. Get up and go to school. You got to go to school. Do your chores when you get home. Eat all your vegetables. Okay, it's time for bed. Go to bed. All this sort of routine stuff that parents do every day. And that's not the important things. The things I remember are the times that my kids came and cuddled me on the couch for no good reason, other than they just wanted to hug my neck. It was the times when my kids, especially my son, because he doesn't have any developmental problems, was okay being seen in public with me as a teenager. You'd be surprised how much that touches a father's heart, knowing that most of the time he wished I weren't anywhere within a mile of him. It's the calls now that I get from my son just to say hello. Just to talk to me. He'll never know how important those are to me. It's the hugs that I get from Julie every single night before she goes to bed. Those are the things that I always longed for, not just for them to be obedient, but those little times where they showed me they loved me. And if you're a dad, you know this. You can never stop being a dad. It doesn't matter how old your kids or how old you get. You're just always going to be a dad. Yes, my role has changed. I recognize that, I hope. My son reminds me of that from time to time, that my role has changed. And I understand that. But I've never and never will stop being his dad. I never will and never can stop being Julie's dad. And I would still give them all that I had and do anything for them and die for them if necessary. And in the midst of that, I want to share a story about my father's love. I think I had a good human father. I love my dad. I know that he loved me. I know that he did what he did for me and with me because of his love for me. He was a great human father. But I just want to say at this point, I recognize that not all of us had human fathers that took the role seriously. Let's just get that on the table. Not everybody had a dad who they would look back and say, I want to be just like him. Sometimes dad wasn't even present in their life. Sometimes dads are abusive. Sometimes dads do things that they shouldn't do, or they don't do anything at all when they should do something. I'm not trying to make light of that. I'm not trying to say if you haven't had a good human dad, you're in trouble, because I don't believe that. I just want to tell you that we have a father who always loves us, who always does the right thing. And I want to confess to you now, when I was a beginning father, I was not a believer in Jesus. I didn't know God. I didn't follow God. I didn't care about God. I would be now if it hadn't been for him intervening, my Father in heaven, intervening in my life. Because I still was not the father I always wanted to be, but I am the father today that I am because of my heavenly Father's love. And I want to just take a peek through his eyes, the eyes that he that he shares with us as a Father in heaven for all of us. And he is the song, remember? You are a good, good Father. And I love that song because it helps remind me, even in the midst of hard times, that he is. And I want you to know this morning, we are children that he loves. I don't want you to go away from here with any picture of your heavenly Father except one, that he loves you. He did give his everything for us. He loved us so deeply and cared for us so much that he gave all for us. It makes me hurt. It makes my heart hurt when we get an image of God that says, oh, he just wanted subjects to rule. He just wanted puppets to control. He just wanted somebody to boss around. You don't know the Father if that's the Father that you know. Psalm 24:1 says, the earth and all who live in it are his. He created us for relationship. He created us because he loved us. You are loved by God. And he finds joy in our uniqueness. He didn't intend for all of us to be the same. We are a product of two things. We're the product of our parents, our human parents' DNA. It is physically who we are, the shape of what we look like, and the person that we are in the form of a human body. But y'all, there's another part of us that your Heavenly Father, he gave to you, he gave to me. He is the one that for us individually, he gave us spirit and personality. And he loves the person that he created you to be. Now, he understands that you were born into a world that is rebellious to him and sins. But he knows the difference between a unique path of following him and rebellion. And he works with us and teaches us and leads us on this path in our uniqueness. I don't know if you've heard this verse from Psalm 139. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Anybody heard that passage? Read Psalm 139 if you're not. And I've read it many times. And I thought to myself, what does that mean? Fearfully. Was God like, oh my goodness, I got to make Mark. I'm afraid of what's going to happen. I'm pretty sure that's not what that passage means. I want you to know that the word fearfully means a deep respect. It's the same word that he uses when he talks about us fearing him. He doesn't want us to be afraid of him. He wants us to have a deep respect. Did you know that God created you with a deep respect for who you are? And wonderfully means uniquely. He, out of great respect, made you exactly as you are in spirit and in personality to be unique. He doesn't want you to be like somebody else. He didn't create a boring world. And he knows you intimately because that's the way he created you. And in the midst of us living life in this world, he disciplines and teaches us in love. Hebrews 12:6. He disciplines those that he loves. He even relates it to a human father. What human father doesn't discipline a son that he loves? Even more so a father. I hope you appreciate that. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to appreciate that when you want to go a direction that he doesn't want you to go, and you feel that teaching from him, that discipline, even a point of sort of creating an instance where he's really pushing you not to do that. I know that God does not want to punish us quickly. It's not his first rule of thumb. But because of his love for us, sometimes he creates something. He will put something in front of us that seems hurtful or harmful to get us to think seriously about what we're going to do. But he does that because he loves us. He wants us to live safe and healthy lives. He created us. He knows what's best for us. He simply wants us to follow that path. And in the midst of that, much like me, but to a greater extent, he really desires, longs for us to love him, not just be obedient to him. I hope you're at that place in your relationship with God, that it is your love for God, your your deep relationship with God that motivates you to listen to his voice and to do what he says. Because it's so easy to get that backward. To believe that somehow by simply forcing myself to do what God says, love will be created. And I'm telling your father, just in the midst of that everyday life that goes on and on with all these things that you should be doing and going, he longs for the cuddles on the couch. He longs for the phone calls just to say hello. He longs for the hugs at bedtime, so to speak. He longs for those moments when intimately and personally you just want to be with him. That's what God longs for. And the more of those moments that we get, the easier it is for us to understand his direction for us. And this especially I need for you to know, he will never stop being your father. I almost wrote this down, but I didn't want the English teachers to get on me. He can't not be your father. You know, you can't not, right? I know. I didn't. I said it, but I didn't write it down. Right, so it doesn't count. He cannot stop being your father. Luke 15:11-32 is a parable of the son who takes all that his father has and runs off and squanders it. But he realizes that he's done something he shouldn't do, and he says to himself, "It'd be so much better for me just to be back in my father's home, even though, you know, I've squandered all my inheritance. At least I'd be back with my dad." And here's the picture I want to leave you with. The dad doesn't wait. The God represented in that story is the dad. Doesn't wait for the son to come back and beg on his knees for forgiveness. And then to dole out some kind of punishment until he feels like the son can be worthy again. That's not how the story goes. Anybody know how it goes? The father runs to meet him. The father runs to meet him. Why? Because our Heavenly Father can never stop being our Father. He loves us so much that even at times when he recognizes we're in a place we shouldn't be, as we long to be back with him, he runs to meet us. I don't know what the story of your father life is like. I feel pretty blessed as a person whose father life has had a good human father. I pray that you have too, but if not, I just want to ask you to lean into your heavenly father, because he is a good father. He is the father that shows us how to be a father. And lastly, because I'm reflecting as a father, I want you to know this about me. I couldn't have been, wouldn't have been a father that I am if it hadn't have been for the transforming power of the Father. His divine power had given me everything that I needed for life and godliness, including and especially how to be a father. You know, we started this with that video, Dads Are Awesome. A lot of times human dads are awesome. Sometimes not so much. Maybe we couldn't say that about our dad. But I want to tell you today, your Heavenly Father is an amazing Father. And we can always say, hashtag dad is awesome. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for showing us what a father looks like, how a father acts, how a father loves. Thank you, Lord, that you can be the father of us all at the same time and yet be the father of us individually and uniquely. You are amazing, Father. If we ever get in our mind a picture of a father that doesn't represent the person that you are, the relationship that you desire, Father, show us, help us to understand our short-sightedness. And Father, we just want to give you thanks for being the father that you are. Happy Father's Day, God. Happy Father's Day. In Jesus' name, amen.